I've got two readings this evening. Mark 1, chapters 35 to 38, and Mark 2, chapters 1 to 12. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew his spirit, that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Michael. I'm going to pray as I start speaking tonight. Heavenly Father, we just pray that your spirit would be with us tonight as we think about this passage from Mark and what it can teach us about who you are and how our lives are changed by knowing you. Amen. Okay, I want to start by asking you a question. If you had to summarize who you were, your essence, what made you distinctively you, in one word, what word would that be? Have a think on it. Because I got asked this question a couple of weeks ago, and I wish that my word was wise, sensible, responsible, loving, compassionate. But whenever my friends describe me, or I have to describe myself, the word that I am always drawn to is this: fun. I love fun. I love having fun. I love planning to have fun. I love looking back on the fun that I have had and talking about the fun things that I have done. I am an absolute classic 7 on the Enneagram, if that means anything to you. Someone who lives for the fun things that can happen in their lives. Well, I wonder what your word is. And tonight, we are going to think about what Jesus's word is. If we had to summarize what made Jesus, Jesus? Who was he? What was the thing that he did that made him the Son of God that changes our lives? Then what one word could we use? And this passage that Michael read to us comes from the beginning of Mark's gospel. Jesus has just called his disciples. He has these 12 men who are now following him. They've seen something in him and they have left everything and they have followed Jesus. And what is the thing that Jesus is known for at this moment? At this moment, what Jesus is most known for is as a healer. And just before the passage that Michael read, we have this moment, and I want you to imagine it with me. If you were a film director, the setting is sunset in Israel. The day is ending. Jesus is in Capernaum, and an entire town comes out to meet him for healing. Imagine that. Jesus, sunset, an entire town of people are coming to Jesus for healing. It makes me think a little bit of zombies walking towards somebody. And we know from the Israelite world how important healing was. Because in this Israelite New Testament world, if you were ill, then you were not a whole person. If you were ill, you were unable to be a part of society in the same way as people who were healthy. Think of the bleeding woman. 12 years she has spent ostracized from her community, unable to worship God in the temple because of an illness. So they're coming to Jesus because they want healing. They seek healing. And in our passage, we've had healing at sunset, but now we have praying at dawn. Because this has exhausted Jesus. He has spent himself driving out demons, healing people from their sicknesses and infirmities. And he comes to a solitary place at dawn and he prays. Now, sometimes on a Sunday evening after a busy day, I go home. If it's winter, I don't even turn the lights on. I don't even take my coat off. I lie on my sofa and I scroll through Instagram because I am so tired from the day. Or think of the teacher at the end of the summer term who is just telling themselves one more day. And then the holiday comes and they are spent, exhausted. Well, I think this is how Jesus is at the beginning of this passage. And Simon comes to him and says, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus has been spending time in prayer. And I think that's a really good challenge for us, that when we are at the end of ourselves, when we have reached the point of exhaustion, we can try not to be the Instagram scroller like I am, or the person who turns to a nap, but instead to be the person who turns to God. And so Simon comes to Jesus and says, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus says, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there. That is why I have come." You see, it's amazing that Jesus is a healer. It's incredible that we read stories of his life in the Gospels where he healed people from their illness. But we know that that is only the beginning of who Jesus is. So we've had the healings at sunset, the prayers at dawn, and we move now to this familiar passage in Mark 2 in this crowded house in Capernaum. Now, I remember teaching this passage for many years. I'm sure if you came to church as a child, you will have studied this passage. And we can imagine it, can't we? This house that is so full of people that they're standing there like sardines. And then suddenly there's a noise, probably some dust. I never understand why the roof doesn't fall on somebody's head. But there we go. And then a hole appears and this man slowly lowers down through the roof. And I wonder what the crowds were thinking. They must have known that Jesus was a healer. They must have thought, oh my goodness, something amazing is about to happen. Something so incredible that I'll be able to tell everyone in my family that I was there when it happened. Can you remember amazing moments in your life? Moments that felt so extraordinary that for the rest of your life, you'll be able to say exactly where you were when they happened. I remember when Jack Leach and Ben Stokes held the ashes test in 2019. I was on holiday in Mexico and it was morning and my friend was asleep and I was lying in my bed with my phone pressed against my ear, willing them to not lose. They probably thought something incredible was about to happen. And what did Jesus do to this man who lay before them, paralyzed, unable to walk? Remember what I said about the fact that they would have looked at that man and thought, he is not whole. He is not able to participate in our worshipful community. And what does Jesus say when he looks at the man and he sees the faith of his friends? He says, your sins are forgiven. What? Why didn't he heal him? Isn't that who Jesus is? I imagine that they must have been so confused, so perplexed. And we have this response from the teachers of the law. Why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Because Jesus is a healer, and that is incredible. And we will spend time tonight praying for healing. If there's anyone here tonight who wants to be prayed with and for about physical healing, we want to pray for you tonight. But Jesus is more than a healer. Jesus is far more than a healer because Jesus is a forgiver. And Jesus's response to the faith of these friends was forgiveness. It was forgiveness because it meant that these friends had recognized who Jesus was. They'd recognized that he was God, that he was more than a healer. Think also of the story in Luke 19 when Jesus comes to Zacchaeus' house and Zacchaeus in front of him offers to pay back all of the money that he's stolen, to give away half of his possessions to the poor. Jesus sees Zacchaeus' faith and forgives him. The response of Jesus to faith is forgiveness. Because forgiveness is at the heart of who Jesus is. It is at the heart of who Jesus is. And when Jesus is forgiving us, he is fulfilling his mission that he had been given as the Son of God. When I used to do a summer camp, we used to sing a children's song. And as I've been preparing for this talk tonight, the words of the song have been ringing in my ears. Who is this man? It goes through all the different things that Jesus has done, that he's healed people, that he's calmed the storm, that he's driven out demons. And then the chorus, who is this man? He's the Lord of Lords. He can heal the sick. He can calm the storm. He's the Son of God. He can save us from sins. And he calls us to follow him. Because forgiveness is why Jesus came. He showed us that he is God through having power over nature, through calming the storm, through healing people of their sins. But he came to forgive us. He came to offer his life for us on the cross. To plumb the depths. To understand who Jesus is, we have to look at the cross and see that the cross is why Jesus came to earth. The cross shows us who he is. And I have read this book by Dane Ortlund called Gentle and Lowly, which is about the heart of who Jesus is. I've now read it 3 times because every time I read it, I love it so, so much. And I love this quote from that book. He does not get flustered or frustrated when we come to him for fresh forgiveness. That's the whole point. It's what he came to heal. He went down into the horror of death and plunged out through the other side in order to provide a limitless supply of mercy and grace to his people. A limitless supply of mercy and grace to his people. That is so amazing to me, that we are forgiven people, that we can come to Jesus for more than physical healing. And we should come to Jesus for physical healing. But we can come to Jesus for full restoration. Full restoration as to who God first created us to be. People who were created to live intimately with God. And we can have confidence that whatever we bring to God, whatever we've been through, whatever mistakes we have made in our past, we can have full forgiveness, full confidence in a God who forgives us. We are a forgiven people. We have worth as sons and daughters of a heavenly God. We need have no shame about anything that we have lived through. Anything that we have done, we can bring before Jesus and be forgiven for. Anything. Jesus is the most Jesus when he is forgiving us. And we can be lifted from our state, and we can look upon the radiant face of God. And I think it's so amazing that in Scripture, the opposite of guilt and shame is glory, is God's glory. I sometimes like to think that when I put makeup on in the morning, the look that I'm going for is what I would say dewy, okay? So like slightly looking like you've been sprayed with morning dew. And when we read the Old Testament and we see people who have spent time in the presence of God, that is what they have. Think of Moses when he has been in the cleft of the mountain and God has passed before him. He comes down and his face is radiant. I want that highlighter, but I can get that highlighter from God and it will last forever. Apologies if you don't know what a highlighter is. I'll tell you afterwards and I can recommend the one that I like. And I think that this is where God is inviting us to come. God is inviting us to leave the shame and guilt of sin and to come into the glory of God. This comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. Do you want to know this glory? Do you want to know what it looks like to live a life where you shine with the glory of knowing the Lord? I want to live that now, and I want to live that into eternity. And I want to pray for us tonight if we need a reminder of what it means to know the glory of God. But there's so much more in this passage and the ways that it could be speaking to us tonight, because we need to ask ourselves, how are we going to respond to Jesus, the healer and the forgiver? Because we have three different people with three different responses. And I want to invite you to think about which one you feel you're closest to. We have the teachers of the law. Why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? This person who doesn't understand who Jesus is, who doesn't believe that Jesus can truly be God. Well, if that's you here tonight and you're asking questions about who Jesus is and why I believe it's so important that he heals and forgives, then I'd love to chat to you at the end of the service. Come and talk to Opie or I about your questions, and we'd love to answer them. Come along in the summer to one of the Sunday evening services. What about the crowds? This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Have you seen God do amazing things? Do you want to praise him tonight? Do you want to spend some time tonight as we worship God after my talk, thinking of what God has done in your life and thanking him for those things? What about the friends? The friends who have the faith to bring their paralyzed friend, to go through all that effort of making a hole in a roof, lowering him down, because they believed that their friend could be healed. Do you want to come forward tonight to have prayer for healing? We believe in a God who can heal, and we would love to pray with you tonight about healing. And then finally, what about the paralyzed man? The man who was forgiven and healed. Forgiven of his sins. Do you want to be prayed for tonight? Is there something that you feel you've always worried about bringing before God because it just felt slightly too far away from what you thought God could forgive? We would love to pray for you tonight, because Jesus's mission, his ministry, the heart of who Jesus is forgiveness. And as we draw near to him, to his heart, we find arms that are open and longing to forgive us. And I'm going to invite the band to come up now and to start playing for us. And I'm going to ask you if you would like to stand with me now. And we've had Sam sharing that thought, that sense from God that there's someone here who wants to pray about healing for a broken heart. What do you feel that God is speaking to you about tonight? What would it look like for you to walk one step closer to him? Are you one of the crowd who wants to praise God for the things that you have seen, for the ways in which God has poured his blessings upon you? Are you someone who wants to pray for healing? Is there someone in your life, a child, a friend, and you want to spend time now praying for their healing? Do you have things in your past that you want to close the door on? That you want to spend time praying and saying to Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. As I was preparing this week, I just had a sense that there's things that people have been through and that we would love to help you to close the door, to offer yourself once more for a prayer of restoration. Remembering that Jesus, the forgiver, the heart of Jesus is to forgive. He plumbed the depths to achieve for us eternal forgiveness. So if you're in the crowd, you're a friend, or you feel more like the paralyzed man tonight, who comes forward, we want to invite you to pray tonight for healing, for forgiveness, for a reminder of who you are, that we are people who with unveiled faces are contemplating the Lord's glory.